This is Jordan Seculo. The clock is ticking on tax reform.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
Failure's not an option when it comes to the Republican Party and cutting taxes. To every Republican senator, the fate of the party's in our hands, as well as that of the economy. The economy needs a tax cut, and the Republican Party needs to deliver, so I think we'll get there.
I think in the end we'll get the votes, but it's a process, and a legislative process, it takes time to move it across the finish line, but I think we'll get a bill to the president.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I can't imagine we're not going to support this at the end as a whole and as the Senate. I'm still working on some specific parts of it, what I call a debt backstop to be able to make sure that that's in place and other aspects of it. But this will get done. We have got to get this done for the nation.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulo.
Welcome to Jay Sekulo Live. This is Jordan Sekulo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me first say, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I remember why you were thankful, spending time with your family and your friends. I know many of you are like me and my family traveling and probably just catching your breath today. Well, same goes for Washington, D.C. After a bit of scandalous kind of lead up into the holiday, including one election that'll be going on in Alabama very soon, but should not affect what we're focusing on today. The outcome of that election shouldn't affect the outcome of what we're focusing on today, which is the next 3 weeks. The next 3 weeks are when Congress is in session, and specifically the United States Senate. That takes us to December 15th. Now, certainly they can extend that deadline, but as of right now, they go until December 15th. And the big question I have for you today, how important is it for you to see tax reform done and on the president's desk before the end of the year? Whether that happens already in the Senate this week, and then they go into their process of conferencing the two bills, one that's already passed in the House, and that could possibly, you know, be signed by the president after Christmas. But we would know probably by Christmas, certainly, if we were going to get tax reform done by the end of the year. And I want to ask you this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. How important is it for you, and how important do you believe it is for the president and the Republican Party to get tax reform done before the end of the year? 1-800-684-3110. We are taking your phone calls. And let me go right to Washington, D.C. with Than Bennett, our ACLJ Director of Government Affairs. Than, right now, the Senate has a very bold calendar. They are saying that they are hoping to vote on their tax plan as early as this Thursday.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan, and they really need to. You mentioned 3 weeks left in the legislative calendar. That's 15 legislative days. If they go Monday through Friday, of course, there is that 1 week buffer week before Christmas, so they could extend it. But they really need to vote on this bill this week, Jordan, because they also have to pass a spending bill to avert a government shutdown, which I know scares a lot of people. It's basically just passing a spending bill. It's not as dire as some people would say. But that deadline is December the 8th. There's also some other issues around immigration and some other reauthorizations that have to be done, Jordan. But just to simplify that all into one phrase here, they need to pass this bill next week in order to provide room to do the other things they need to do before leaving town. We're going to be talking about a lot of the same senators we've talked about in the past that they need to get over the line. Again, remember, it's in a reconciliation bill. So to get it to the president, they need 50 votes plus the vice president's.
Yeah, Mike on Facebook, he writes in, I think that the tax cuts are great, but when are we going to get some spending cuts? Is it too much to ask for fiscal responsibility? I mean, I think, Than, right now, 100% of the focus is, one, it's just not adding to the deficit when these tax cuts are done. So it's not increasing our debt. When we talk about actually cutting spending, which has already been done to some extent by the Trump administration, I must say, we talk about massive spending cuts. I think that has to come after tax reform.
I agree, but I think taking less of the American taxpayer dollars is a first step. It will force them, Jordan, to then come back and enact spending cuts.
Tina on Facebook says she'll believe it when she sees it. I think that's where a lot of people are. That does not mean, though, you can't push your members of Congress and specifically the Senate. We come back, we'll tell you which senators. Right now, folks, we've got a matching challenge at the end of this month. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled to the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Wanda on Facebook just wrote in to Jay Sekulow Live. Tax reform is the most important thing that needs to be done. Get it done, Republicans. Than, our Director of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C., is joining us. And let me say, our phone lines are open for you. Give us a call. Do you agree with Wanda that it's the most important thing? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than, I tend to agree with Wanda. I think that this is one major, I mean, it's a huge, hasn't happened in more than three decades, since President Reagan did it. We've had massive tax reform. This could be the President Trump, that signs it. This could be the Republican Senate and the Republican House that gets it done. And it may overcome, and in a good way, overshadow some of the scandal and controversy plaguing both parties, actually. So where the effects of that will not be as important in the midterm elections coming up in 2018 as the success of tax reform, which I think would then dominate the narrative of the 2018 midterm election cycle.
Yeah, Jordan, I certainly agree with Wanda and you. I mean, look, we fight on so many of these issues about making the impact of D.C. smaller in our lives and shortening that long arm of the federal government. Well, Jordan, there's no better way to do that than to reduce the amount of money that Washington, D.C. takes out of your paycheck. It spills over into all of the other issues that we talk about: the power of the bureaucracy, the impact of the IRS and their ability to enter into your lives. So, Jordan, on all of these other issues that we talk about, they become a little bit easier if you reduce taxes and you simplify the tax code. It shortens the reach of the federal government. So I think you're looking at a GOP Senate who promised a lot of things in an election cycle and has not done a very good job of delivering. And of course, neither have the Democrats, Jordan. They're not at the table on this, but they are not in power. I would agree with you. This is the most important thing to get done. And if it gets done, Jordan, I would argue that several of those things that we've talked about over the last several weeks, they might follow closely behind.
This is how we're going to focus in on the show today, because when you talk taxes, obviously there's two issues. One, is it going to get done? I mean, that's the big political question. That's what we're focusing on in this first half hour with Than. So we want to take your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. In the second half hour, Than runs to a meeting in Washington, D.C. on this very issue, Than. So you'll be out at a meeting to get us more information for tomorrow's broadcast, and we're going to bring in our policy analyst, Harry Hutchinson, to talk about the tax issues. I see that Jill on Facebook writes in already asking about how this will affect the middle class. We're going to answer those questions in the second half hour of the broadcast. In this first half hour, we want to focus in on the politics of getting this tax reform done. And Than, let's walk through that. For the purposes of the U.S. Senate, and as we saw in the Senate Finance Committee, I'm going to just take aside all of the Democrats right now, especially if the repeal of the individual mandate is in there. What Republicans do we need to be focusing on? I know one is Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin, and he's not an anti-cut taxes guy. He wants to see more taxes cut for small businesses.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you're right on the Democrats, Jordan. I think it's a political decision wholly, but they have said they're not going to deliver any votes unless it gets passed by Republicans on its own. Then maybe you'll get a couple. So you do have to look at the Republicans. As for Ron Johnson, Jordan, he actually wants the House version of the small business pass-through rate. So like you said, he's arguing for more tax relief for small businesses. I actually think he's going to get that. I think he will be a yes on the end, even though he is a no right now. And I can break down some of the reasons for the next six. But outside of Ron Johnson, I would give you six names to look at, and Republicans will need four of them to get to 50.
I'm going to write these down.
Okay, here we go. Looking at Bob Corker from Tennessee. John McCain of Arizona, you might have heard of him.
Yeah.
Jerry Moran of Kansas, Susan Collins of Maine, Jeff Flake of Arizona, and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. I think if they get four of those six and make a change to bring Ron Johnson back on board, which I do think they can do, that would get them to 50.
So let me walk through that again, make sure we've got him. So Ron Johnson, we know, is because he wants more tax cuts for small businesses, or more, if not cuts, at least deductions for small businesses, which again, means they're paying less taxes. And then you've got, is it five more, Than, that we're looking at? We're looking at Bob Corker. Bob Corker, who is retiring, so he is a wild card. McCain, who has certainly been a wild card on this when you go back to health care, and he went and did his whole Roman Empire-style thumbs down, to much applause by the left. Then I've got Moran down from Kansas, Susan Collins and Murkowski. Collins in Maine, Murkowski in Alaska. They were also, along with John McCain, the reason why the healthcare repeal and replace did not go through the Senate. Who am I missing, Than?
Jeff Flake should be on that list Jordan. He's concerned about some of the sunsets in the Senate bill.
And Jeff Flake, as much battling as he's done with President Trump, and as much as he's had to say, and I'm not getting into the whole Roy Moore thing today, because one, that election, though it will be important for the balance of the Senate come the new year, should not affect this issue. And now that's with an asterisk, because that's if they get this done before the end of the year, because by the time that election is certified, it will be like right around or right after Christmas. Congress, and then you get sworn in. Congress should be out by then, which means they should, again, this is all with an asterisk, whoever wins that, Roy Moore, Doug Jones, should not have a vote on this specifically unless it gets pushed way back into the calendar. And Than, is that even possible? Can it get pushed that far back, or does that not work with how the budget works? Because I also know there's a December 8th, which is coming up, a spending bill deadline.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is a continuing resolution to push that December 8th deadline back a few weeks, Jordan. I mean, I'm not certain on that. That's my guess. I'll put it to you this way. Technically, yes, the debate could go into next year. But politically, I think if it goes deep into January, I think you're seeing a dead tax bill, Jordan. I think if this is going to get done, it's got to get done by the end of the year or very early in January. And quite frankly, the lawmakers don't want to be here over Christmas. So I think that Christmas really does become a pretty much a de facto deadline. And if it happens before, then you're right. Luther Strange will be casting a vote for the state of Alabama. I don't think the election that's pending there on December 12th will play into this.
Yeah, so this is, again, folks, this is the battle of battles right now. In a time when Washington is in a bit of turmoil with what's happened with Al Franken. But again, those are Democrat, with John Conyers. Those are Democrat issues to deal with. They're not going to affect this tax vote. This tax vote is coming down to Republicans and Republicans only. Now, Than, I want to walk through. So Ron Johnson, we know, wants more deductions for small businesses. Bob Corker, do we know what he's looking for? Is he just a wild card because he's retiring?
Well, I think he is a wild card to some extent, but honestly, I think he should want to do what's best for his constituents anyway.
Yeah.
I think he is probably the best example, Jordan, of someone who would cite the potential deficit score as his concern for this bill. But just quickly, That goes back to ideology. Do you think that lower taxes and lower money for Washington, D.C. is going to spur growth in the economy and actually reduce the power of the federal government? If you do, Jordan, then you cannot cite a static score from CBO that it would trigger a deficit as a reason for voting against this. But I think that's what you'll hear from him.
I would imagine people like Congress, like Senator Lankford out of Oklahoma, are going to be very important for folks like Bob Corker, because he's a deficit hawk fan. He's kept expressing this. So as long as that score comes in, you know, correctly, I think he can pitch directly to those senators. He's going to play a very important role.
That's a great point, Jordan. I would say two things about Senator Lankford. He was one of the ones that negotiated this $1.5 trillion over 10-year score on the deficit. Bob Corker wanted less than that, but I do think Senator Lankford's voice would be important. And just quickly, before we get off Senator Lankford, he's also fighting for that Johnson Amendment repeal language that we won in the House to carry the day. So those are two issues that Senator Lankford's going to be key
when
on.
When we come back from this segment, I'm actually going to read to you now the text. The Johnson Amendment, which is the law that went into effect that prevented churches and your pastor from, you know, being up at the pulpit and talking politics at all, is repealed in the House version of this tax plan. That language is not in the Senate version. Now, it could be added right now, Than. It could also be done. The reason why the deadline is approaching faster than even like 3 weeks from now is because, Than, let's explain to people, and we want to take your phone calls. We want to answer your questions about this. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's our toll-free number you call. 1-800-684-3110 is because, Than, if the Senate passes a bill, which it likely will, if it does pass any bill, it will be somewhat different from the House bill. I don't want to say 100% different, but different from the House bill. And that means you've got to have time within that now through the December 15th window to have a conference to then reconcile those two bills and then have votes again in the House and the Senate.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. And the way that would work, you would have some of the most key members from both chambers come together in a small conference committee. They would agree internally on what that language would look back, and it would have to go back to both chambers for a revote. There's been some speculation out there, Jordan, that the House would just take up the Senate bill to avoid a conference committee. That is looking less likely. It really does look like if this thing is going to get enacted, it will go through a conference committee and require another vote in both chambers.
You know, Gretchen on Periscope writes in, I am afraid that McCain, Flake, Corker, and Collins will sink anything President Trump does. The big question is, when it comes, do they want to be known for just sinking things because they don't of a personal spat with the president, or do they want to be known as cutting taxes, which is what all of them always run on as Republicans, is cutting our taxes, paying less taxes, smaller federal government. So, I mean, that's a big if to say I'm going to just vote against the president on this because I don't want him to have a victory. Because for me, it's a victory for the American people, and a victory for all these individual elected officials. We'll be right back. Remember our matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
To the phones at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We've got a few lines open for you. I know right now you're getting up to speed on what is going on in Washington, D.C. in these next 3 weeks. Let me tell you, the second half hour, we're going to talk more specifics. And I know you always have questions about tax policy, tax issues, how it will affect you. We're going to bring Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst, also an attorney, to come into the studio to talk to you about that as well. So if you got those questions, you can start calling in about it now because that will start in the next segment of the broadcast in the second half hour. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I want to go right to Dennis in Kansas. Dennis has already contacted Senator Moran's office. Dennis, tell us about that contact and your phone call.
Yes, hello, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Dennis.
Senator Moran's office and made comment to his staffer that he needs to get behind the Republican Party and stand up and grow a backbone for the Republican Party and get behind this tax reform, even though that it may not fix everything, but it's taken Congress over 200 years to make such a mess of this country anyway. And if he doesn't want to do that, he should change parties and become a Democrat.
Yeah, where is Moran, Than? I mean, for Dennis and for people listening out there who this is the senator from Kansas, and again, at this day and stage, I mean, Dennis is and I think it's great, Dennis, that you're reaching out. We encourage everybody to do that, especially with these six that we've named: Ron Johnson, Bob Corker, John McCain, Moran, Collins, Murkowski, Jeff Flake. Again, just encouraging them, especially if you're a constituent of one of their states. So whether you're in Arizona or Alaska or Maine or Kansas or Arizona, or again, Arizona. So both your Arizona senators at Tennessee and then, of course, Wisconsin. But then what is going through this? What is the issue with Senator Moran? What does he have issue with this?
Yes, I think Senator Moran may be just negotiating here. He has indicated two concerns with the bill. One is the deficit concern that Bob Corker has raised. The other one is the individual mandate repeal inclusion, Jordan. And that's honestly why I opened with him at the start of the show, because that just doesn't make any sense. He has campaigned time and time again on repealing Obamacare. And this strikes me very similar to the claim that Lisa Murkowski made, that she was for Obamacare repeal and then reversed her position after she was elected. And again, Jordan, this is not the entire health care bill that was considered. This is just a statutory confirmation of what President Trump has already done, eliminating the penalty of the individual mandate. So I'm glad that Senator Moran is being called by his constituents. And I think he needs to understand that if he is going to claim the individual mandate language is a reason not to vote for this, his constituents are not going to be happy with him.
Yeah, I mean, so Bill Himmer asked Mark Short, who is the White House Director of Legislative Affairs, who's the biggest hurdle? Now, we're talking Republican hurdles here. It shouldn't be. Should be Republican. Should be pretty easy, right? But he asked Mark Short, the White House Director of Affairs, who is the biggest hurdle. Take a listen, Bite 7.
Collins, Corker, Flake, McCain, Murkowski, Johnson. Who is the biggest obstacle then on that list?
I honestly don't view that those members are obstacles. We've had conversations with pretty much each and every one of them throughout the Thanksgiving holidays. They have some policy concerns, but they're all looking to try to get to yes.
So, Than, that's pretty positive. I mean, for a White House who's been through some legislative defeats, a president who has expressed his displeasure at Congress, especially when it came to health care, a lot of eggs in the basket on tax reform, obviously. You want to have a positive face, especially before anyone has voted. But again, we've walked through, I think, for everybody, these individual concerns. They all seem to be concerns, unlike when you're talking about health care, where it was like all over the map. On this issue, these kind of are like small amendments that would be made. Is that how this process would work now? Is that if they vote Thursday, would they allow for these amendments to be made?
So two things, Jordan. One, I think those negotiations are happening right now, and the vast majority of changes that would be made would probably be made in a manager's amendment that Orrin Hatch, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, would bring to the floor on Thursday, and that would be the underlying bill that is voted on. So I think the conversations that are taking place right now will address those policy differences. Number two, I just quickly say, I agree with Mark Short on this, because remember, when the health care language came out before it was going to be voted on, you immediately had four senators jump off the bill and say they were no, and the effort was always to try to get them back on. We've only had one senator do that in this case, and it's Ron Johnson. And quite frankly, I think he's pretty far down the list of concerns. I think he will get back to a yes. And so they're starting from a stronger position, Jordan, to keep Republican senators on the bill as opposed to trying to get them back on it like was the case with healthcare. So I agree with him. There's reason for optimism. The one hedge I would give is that those six names that you read, seven if you count Ron Johnson, those are ones that you're never quite sure where they're going to be at the end of the day. That's the one concern.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that on the broad issue of tax cuts, it's pretty hard for someone like Ron Johnson, who may even right now express doubts in whether I could support this or not, to end up at the end of the day and vote no. Be like the only, you know, one of two Republicans, or maybe be the third Republican that votes it down, and then have to go run for reelection eventually as a guy who voted against tax cuts, even if they weren't perfect for everyone in the country, to at least get that ball rolling, because we always know that those small changes can be made down the line as well. You've got to get the big item done. The big reform has to be done. You will not get 100% of what you want when you do big reforms. If you get to 70, 75% and you're doing something that you only do every few decades, let me tell you, folks, that's a victory. In school, that might be a C. In Congress, Than, for me, that's an A+.
Yeah, maybe even better than an A+. And Jordan, on the issue that Ron Johnson's concerned about, I would give you one more reason that he should be a yes. It's because the language that he wants is in the House passed bill. And again, we've talked about this, but it's going to go to conference. So he can vote for this bill and say, I want to get it to conference, and I'm not going to vote for a bill that comes out of conference if it doesn't adopt the House passed language. It's not that he's trying to change the version that already cleared the House. He likes the version that cleared the House. So I think he can argue for it now. And I think, honestly, come later this week, no matter which version hits the floor on that particular issue, I think he's going to be a yes, Jordan.
Yeah, Harold on Facebook, Than, he writes in, at this point, would reaching out to Senator McCain make a difference? Than, I think people are a little down on what they saw with health care. But again, I go back to, on this issue, I believe, and I think you agree with me, when it comes to tax cuts, everyone is worth reaching out to on this list that we've gone through.
I think certainly if you're a Republican, because listen, again, I think you said it right, Jordan. This is the staple of what it means to belong to the Republican Party, no matter if you're from Arizona or Maine or Tennessee. So on the issue of tax cuts, I think it absolutely makes sense to reach out to Senator McCain, especially if you're from Arizona. I know you might not be terribly happy with him over the course of the, you know, the last term here. But look, his vote is one of the 50 that they are going to need to get it over the line. And I think even to this day, I think Senator McCain believes in lower taxes, and he knows that he needs to push that across the line, despite any objections he might have with process. And just one final point on Senator McCain, Jordan. He likes to talk about process. Process on this one has been very extensive. If he has not participated in the process that has taken place, that's on him, not the process that has taken place.
Carlos and David, I know you've been holding on. We are going to get to your phone calls right when we come back in our second half hour of the broadcast. We've got some phone lines open for you, folks. And in this second half hour, we'll talk more politics of the tax cuts, but we're also going to talk about specifically the policy behind this. And we're going to look more at the Senate plan, but the House plan as well. And both of those are important because they'll likely have to come together in a meeting and then reconcile those two. So they'll conference and then reconcile those two in the next 3 weeks if the Senate can get past hurdle one. Now, I need you right now to take part in our matching challenge. Today's Cyber Monday right now. People are spending money like crazy on electronics. If you support the ACLJ today with a financial contribution online at aclj.org, your donation is doubled. Pretty good, right? Double the impact of your donation today at aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And as I promised, because I do want to take one off the top of the bat, they've been holding on. If you want to talk to us again on the air, it's 1-800-684-3110. If you have questions about these tax plans and how it will affect you, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. And let me again just encourage you. This is, they call it Cyber Monday. People are spending money like crazy online, buying and purchasing Christmas presents. I get it. There's good deals. Good for you if you've gotten some of those for your family. But at the ACLJ, it's an important time as we end the month. Right now, we have a matching challenge. Same kind of deal where whatever you're able to donate financially to the ACLJ is doubled. So a $10 donation becomes $20 for the ACLJ. That's a big deal. If you put all those donations together, think about, you know, $50 becoming $100 to the work of the ACLJ. And right now, I know we are waiting for the FBI's response. The deadline is November 30th for the FBI response to our FOIA request on documents they may have on the Clinton Lynch tarmac meetings. So while we're talking tax policy, and listen, we're very involved with that. Dan Bennett, our director of government affairs, running across the street to Congress right now to join a meeting on this very issue. We're waiting the court documents and from the FBI. Will they comply on time, as they said, November 30th, in just a few days, with those documents from the Clinton Lynch tarmac meeting? What does the FBI have? We will get into that more later in this week. But give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Carlos on line two, calling in from Utah. Carlos, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hey, Carlos. Is Carlos still there? He might not still be there. We'll try David in Iowa on line four. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, David.
Hey, thanks for having me. I just wanted to say that I think that the Republican Party is playing Russian roulette with its constituents. They want to keep playing these games that they can play and manipulate things and not get the stuff done that they were voted to get up there to do, and it's going to come back and bite them. And I think the people who voted them in gave them something that was considered impossible. They put all that they wanted in against overwhelming odds. They came out, they battled, and then they're up there, and they're saying, oh, you know, we'll get around to you someday, to the people that battled to get them up there. And the people that voted them are still under assault all the time. I mean, the Republican Party is always under assault in workplaces,
yeah,
on the media, and we're tired. You get tired of that. And if you have nothing up there saying to cheer about,
yeah, yeah,
You're going to lose that heart, you know.
I mean, David, I want to see you. You know, you're in Iowa, so a state that gets inundated by politics. You're in Des Moines, so you get inundated by politics I've worked for campaigns, been out there. You get inundated every few years with national politics. You've of course got your state politics going on as well. But let me kind of put this towards you. A lot of people, I heard it today driving into the office. Oh, Roy Moore and this election in Alabama is going to damage Republicans into the midterms. I think it's more damaging for Republicans in the midterms, David, not whether or not Roy Moore is a U.S. senator and this expelling process and all that junk, but whether or not, David, and I guess we've dropped David, but I think the bigger question is, I think it's more damaging for Republicans not to get tax reform done than what Republican may get elected in Alabama. That's my view. 1-800-684-3110. If you agree with that, call in. If you disagree, give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst, is in the studio with me now, and we'll be answering your tax questions, walking through the tax policies, especially this Johnson Amendment language in the House bill, I think is very important. I will read the actual text for you, and we'll keep taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Be a part of our matching challenge on this Cyber Monday. Whatever you donate online at aclj.org is doubled. Make that donation online right now.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, so Harry, first question. Now that we get into how these tax plans may affect all of us, and you have to say may, because right now, folks, we have a House plan that has passed, a Senate plan which is not yet finished, which they are hoping to vote on by Thursday. I mean, think about that. It's Monday. I mean, that's just days away. Now, with the Senate, that's a big hoping. I'd say that, you know, that's a very long spelled out hoping, but they're hoping to do it by Thursday. There will be changes between now and then to what they vote on Thursday. So whatever is out there today that passed through the Finance Committee and the Senate will not be what they vote on probably Thursday. There'll probably be changes that you all like, actually. But we want to take your phone calls now at 1-800-684-3110 because I want to get your thoughts on how important this is to Republicans, to conservatives, to the president to get this done. I mean, what do you think happens if Republicans can't get this done? And do you believe it's more important that what happens in an Alabama election or for Senate or getting tax reform done? Give us a call with your response. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I really just want to get your thoughts, your opinions at 1-800-684-3110. I've got a Twitter poll up at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You can follow me there on Twitter. That's twitter.com/JordanSekulow. And it's that one of our JLive listeners said on the air, quote, tax reform is the most important thing that needs to be done. Do you agree? Vote in that poll right now at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. We'll get you the results at the end of the broadcast today. But Harry, first question. It's an opposed comment that came in from Tim on Periscope. He said, I think the middle class will regret these tax cuts if they pass. What do you say to Tim?
Well, I think Tim's analysis is probably incorrect. Virtually every analysis that I have looked at suggests quite the opposite, that the middle class actually benefits from these tax cuts. Now, it is clear beyond question that there will be winners and losers that come out of this tax cut proposal. But on the whole, probably 90 to 95% of the middle class will indeed benefit. There's some discussion between the House and the Senate version as to whether or not the individual tax cuts will indeed be made permanent or temporary. I think it's in the interest of Republicans to make sure that those tax cuts are indeed permanent, not temporary. Because if you're going to make permanent cuts in the corporate rate, then you should make permanent cuts in individual tax rates. So I think on the whole, the middle class will benefit through a higher standard deduction, lower tax rates overall. But it is clear beyond question that a few people will perhaps be hurt. But I think it's important, and it's in the national interest, to pass a tax cut proposal that benefits most Americans.
And when you say people get hurt, I know our listeners are going to get nervous. Say, well, is it me? Is there a category that we can say yet between, can we take that, can we look at the House and Senate plans as they are right now, assuming they kind of come together with some changes? Can we figure out exactly who those people are? Can we say as of today, like, who would it be that gets hurt? Other than, I'm not, and I am taking out of that, by the way, the 5 million plus a year earners, because I don't think anybody's worried about them. So I'm talking about, you know, middle class Americans.
So it's very possible that middle to upper middle class Americans who live in so-called blue states, okay, like New York and California, at least some of them will not benefit. Why? Because they already have very high deductions, because they have a humongous home mortgage deduction, which may be cut. They may also lose some state and local tax deductibility. Those individuals may face higher overall taxes. On the other hand, individuals between incomes of $50,000 and $100,000, on average, virtually every one of them will indeed benefit, even in blue states. But individuals who are perhaps earning between $100,000 and $250,000 who live in blue states, some of those individuals may pay more in federal income taxes.
And again, folks, that's more because of their state, not because of what the federal government's doing. It's because their state taxes those people to death. And I think the state, it will actually encourage the state to reform their taxes to so that they will be on par, or else they're going to have mass loss of middle income and middle to higher income earners. The middle to upper middle class earners will flee. We've seen that already in many of those states. They will leave in droves if just by going across the border, let's say from California to Arizona or California to Nevada, they see a tax cut of 5 to 7%. If you're a upper middle earner and you're able to make that move, you're going to do it.
Absolutely. So if we look at the current tax scheme, essentially red state citizens are subsidizing blue state citizens who are overtaxed. And they are overtaxed because of their state and local government activity. That's not a federal issue. It's a state and local issue.
And I would say, I mean, Harry, for everybody, for all everybody else who's not living in one of those blue states, all those of us in the red states, and not even all red states, but states that just aren't as high tax. The purple, those states that go in there, they're not as high tax. You know, I think about a Virginia, a place like
Correct. That.
We're really paying for these people who are like out in California and New York that have got these incredibly high, Massachusetts, incredibly high tax rates.
That's correct. And so many of these so-called blue states, they deliver huge amounts of services that may indeed be unnecessary. There's lots of waste and corruption going on in many of those states. And so the question becomes, why should the citizens of the United States on average subsidize that misconduct?
Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, because I will tell you, Harry, and to all of our listeners, a lot of people are just very nervous about whether or not the Republicans can actually get this done. Let's go to April in Kentucky on line one. April, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
But now, I do not believe tax reform is going to be done this year. I believe we have too many rhinos sitting in the House, and we have rhinos who are against getting Trump's agenda done. You know, Mitch McConnell, he can fight. He can gather all the support to fight against President Trump, but he cannot get together with the Senate to fight for President Trump's agenda. So, no, we're not going to see tax reform, and we're not going to see Obamacare repealed until we get that House full of conservatives.
I think specifically it's the Senate that's the issue. I think that's what you mean, April. It's the Senate. The House of Representatives is already got their tax plan through. They already got the Obamacare repeal in place through. It died in the Senate. The tax cut is already through the House. It is not through the Senate. And I would say, you know, it's interesting your comment because you're from Kentucky, where the majority leader is from, Mitch McConnell. And let me just say, folks, as we take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, that Mitch McConnell here, it's not so much like he's doing a victory for President Trump. This is a victory for Republicans. I mean, this is what the Republican Party, Harry, is all about. It's why many people, I think there's a couple of issues why people join the Republican Party or call themselves Republicans. One, I know for a lot of our audience who are religious, it's the life issue. You know, that abortion issue, it's just cut and dry. If you're pro-abortion, cannot be supported. Republican Party has a pro-life platform. Okay, that's one. But I think maybe even bigger than that is the economic issue.
Absolutely.
And the economic issue, number one, is tax cuts.
Tax cuts and smaller government. So, Jordan, I would say people are rightly disappointed in politicians who routinely overpromise and underdeliver. And I think if Republicans don't deliver on tax reform, we are looking at a Democratic majority going forward. So I think it's very, very important for the Republican Party to pass tax reform. Otherwise, they will deserve the consequences. And so I think voters are rightly skeptical of Republicans until they deliver some major achievement. Tax reform provides them with another opportunity. The Senate has already failed with respect to repealing Obamacare. They now have another opportunity, and I think if they fail on this one, many of those senators are toast, and they deserve their fate.
In the last segment of the broadcast, folks, which is coming up, it's quick already that we're already there. We take all of your phone calls. We got one line open for you right now at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me answer Bonnie's question on Facebook very quickly. What happens to charitable contribution deductions under this new bill? Those deductions are still okay. So you'll still be able to make your charitable deductions, which is important for groups like the ACLJ. So that stays. That deduction remains in both plans, both in the House and the Senate plan. And that's important for your churches, for your religious organizations, for groups like the ACLJ, which takes me into, you know, folks, a lot of people are spending money right now on Cyber Monday and on the deals that you can get online. We right now, this is important for the end of the month at the ACLJ, have a matching challenge for all the work that we do. We're waiting for the documents from the FBI on November 30th is their deadline on the Clinton Lynch tarmac meetings. Then we got to go through all those documents. We need your support. It's a matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate financially is doubled online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
In the last segment of the broadcast each day, we take as many of the phone calls as we can that have come in. There's a line open for you right now, folks. So 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. One Facebook comment that came in, Azelle on Facebook says she is for tax reform, especially if it gets rid of the Obamacare mandate. That is a tax directly targeting the poor and middle class. Harry, just quickly, the Senate plan has that in it. The House plan does not yet, but that would be something I would imagine most House Republicans would be fine including.
Absolutely.
Get rid of that individual mandate.
And I think it would represent a Republican commitment to fulfilling their promise, and the individual mandate is one of the worst aspects of Obamacare, and it's an infringement on human liberty.
Yeah, it kind of ties into getting back to the health care issue once again, that Republicans haven't forgotten that they will move forward again and try to repeal and replace Obamacare. I wish I could say they definitely will, but I think try is the best word we can use as of this moment. Maybe that'll change after we see what they do with Texas. So let's go right to the phones in order of who's been holding on the longest. Lucy calling in from Pennsylvania, line 3. Lucy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Lucy.
I just wanted to say that I am so, so upset with the Republicans, especially in the Senate. And if they they're not looking down the line years from now, they might be wanting to run themselves one day for president. And this is all I'm always going to remember this, and I'm going to work hard when it comes time for elections from now on.
Well, let me tell you something, Lucy. One thing we know about the U.S. Senate, unless they're just retiring because of age, every single one of them wants to be president of the United States. Now, it's rare. President Obama was able to do it. But they all, they've already made it to the body of the 100. Then they want to be. They all want to be president of the United States. You see that every time we have an election cycle. There's always a number of senators from both parties running because they believe that they're the ones qualified. Now, I'm not saying just because you are a senator doesn't make you qualified, but I will totally agree with you there. And second, that I do believe people will remember this. Remember, we've got an online poll. We're going to announce the results of it. It's on twitter.com/JordanSekulow. One of our J Live listeners just said, quote, tax reform is the most important thing that needs to be done by the end of this year. Do you agree? Answer yes or no. That's twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Sandy calling in from Wisconsin. Hey, Sandy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jordan, how are you?
We're good.
Good. Excuse me. I have a question, and the question is about the tax situation. And first, I'd like to say a contribution to the ACLJ is far more important than any kind of a good deal that you are going to get today.
I appreciate that, Sandy. I appreciate that.
What you guys do around the world is just fantastic.
Thank you.
Now, I just listened to On Point, the public radio news station, and their subject this morning was this tax bill. And they had a couple experts on there, and they analyzed the bill, and their conclusion was, and this isn't a question to you, their conclusion was that this bill is really going to help the rich much more than the middle class. And of course, we add $1 trillion to our deficit as a country, and that's not good either. So what have you got to say about that?
Well, I think that, first of all, the opponents of tax cuts will always say that. Here's one big reason why, and then I'll go to Harry. One big reason why is that, guess what group of people in the United States doesn't pay any taxes? The lowest income earners in our country. They pay zero. So whatever tax cut you make, it's not going to affect the lowest earners in the country. It's not going to affect the poorest workers. You know, the people who are not working, already not affected. But the people who are working but at the lowest wages are paying effectively zero taxes. I'm talking federal here. I can't talk to every state and every city and municipality. But federally, they're paying zero taxes. So when you do a tax cut, it's going to affect middle and upper middle class. And of course, then sometimes also those in the top brackets. But in this plan specifically, they've been very careful, Harry, in making this on the individual side. It's really focusing in on the middle class Americans. Now, the corporate side, of course, those are big corporations, even small corporations. But don't you want your small business owner who may employ you to have more resources to maybe raise your wages, maybe hire more people to take some weight off your back, provide more benefits? If you work at a big company these days, you certainly don't want to see your jobs going overseas, whether you're blue-collar or white-collar management. Whether you're on the blue-collar in the factory, white-collar middle management, your jobs could be going overseas if these kind of cuts aren't made. And if you are looking for a job in that position, your jobs could be coming back, both in manufacturing but also in the corporate side of those businesses. But I think, Harry, that's what all of every analysis of this gets wrong, is that they all forget that the piece of the pie that they're not even putting in this equation is the group of people who pay no taxes, and that group is going to go up under both of these tax plans.
I think that's absolutely correct. So if we look at the nonpartisan Joint Committee on Taxation, it is likely, and this is based solely on the House bill, that every income bracket will receive a tax cut from the House bill. Secondly, I would point out that many opponents of both proposals in the House and the Senate, they focus on tax cuts to corporations and other businesses. So the real question becomes, who pays the corporate tax? Who pays the business tax? The reality, of course, is that consumers typically pay the business tax and the corporate tax, but it is done indirectly. So in virtually every country in the world that favors a highly progressive income tax on individuals, they have a lower corporate tax rate than the United States. So I think it is nonsensical to argue that either tax proposal, either in the Senate or in the House, actually increases taxes on the middle class. There's no evidence in support of that.
We've got two calls and a minute and 40 seconds to take them. Let's do it right now. Let's go to Tegan calling in New Jersey, line 6. Tegan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jordan. How are you?
We're good.
I just have a question for you. In the House bill, do you know which states will be able to write off the real estate on their
state property tax deduction? That'd be for all. It's up to, in the House plan, $10,000.
Up to $10,000.
Is the Senate plan the same?
The Senate plan, as I understand it, would not allow you to deduct your property taxes.
And I think that will eventually get added. I know that's something Ron Johnson, or a number, that kind of gets handled in conference. So again, I think that that's very important. But right now in the House plan, remember, there's two plans out there. You up to $10,000 on your state property tax. It's not in the Senate plan, but the Senate plan is not finalized until they actually vote on it, which they're hoping to do Thursday. Final call of the day. Can we do it in 40 seconds? We can. Kathy in California, line 1. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I just have one question. Don't the Democrats have constituents that want tax cuts?
I think, Harry, they have constituents that want tax cuts. I'm sure plenty of people in California do, like Kathy. But they have, again, in deep blue states, tax cuts are not the driving issue.
Absolutely. And the elites in the Democratic Party,
they don't care about it.
They oppose tax cuts.
Hey, you know why? Because, one, they make so much money, these tax cuts don't even affect them. That's really why. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. Keep you updated on Jay Sekulow Live. Remember our matching challenge.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online